Welcome to the Mormon Channel Relief Society program, a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Julene Judd. Today joining us in the studio are three wonderful mothers, Peggy Moffat, Kathleen Cook, and Erin Jack. They are here to share their thoughts and perspective as mothers on the new Relief Society history book, Daughters in My Kingdom. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Well, I'd like to begin our discussion by asking each of you how Daughters in My Kingdom has strengthened you personally and as mothers. Kathleen?
The first time I read the book, just to pick it up and see of its beauty and all the time and effort that had gone into it, just spoke to my femininity, I think, as a woman and a daughter of God. And as I got into the book and read what was in the chapters, it kind of spoke and reminded me of my roles as a daughter of Heavenly Father and as a wife and a mother and as a friend and a laborer in the kingdom. And it strengthened me as a mother, and particularly the chapter of Guardians of the Hearth, and gave me the courage, I think, to say, you know, what I've been doing as a mother is right, and Heavenly Father is mindful of our efforts. And even on page number 3, the quote Elder James Talmage has that says, the world's greatest champion of woman and womanhood is Jesus the Christ. And I think with that as our foundation, we have such help from heaven, and I don't think I've recognized that always in rearing my children.
I love that. It's the first sentence in the first chapter. I think they wanted to establish that immediately and remind us of that.
And also in that second column, under female disciples in the New Testament, it says how we valiantly participate in the work of saving souls. And I think I've never really thought a lot about what we do in our families as the work of salvation. But really, that's everything we're doing is to get these children and ourselves back to Heavenly Father. So that's a critical element.
I love everything about this book from the first time I opened it. But it's really helped me refocus on what's really the most important thing in our lives. It's made me realize that many of the decisions that I've made throughout my life were good decisions because I loved being a mother and I loved being at home with my children. Right in the very first of the book, when Bell Spafford talks about how it would do well if we would appraise our interests and evaluate the activities that we're engaged in and focus on the things that are most important, I think that's a real wonderful way to set the tone for this whole book, because the real purpose in this whole book comes down to having charity and love for our families and serving. And I just really appreciate how it's made me really look at my life and realize that I need to really focus on and think in more spiritual terms.
Thank you. Erin?
I felt strengthened as I read this book, because as I read through the stories of the sisters and read through the quotes of the prophets and all of the other experiences that are shared and the scriptures that are shared, I felt like I was part of something so much bigger than myself. And sometimes it's easy to get caught up in your own little world and what you have to worry about every day. But as I read through it, I thought, there's all of these women, millions of women around the world that are trying to do the same thing I'm trying to do every day in their own capacity. And it doesn't matter what their language is or their nationality or their anything about them, whether they have children or not, whether they're married or not, that there is a sisterhood and a connection that happens through Relief Society that unifies us as a family of our Father in Heaven.
I love that. Thank you, Erin. And I love that you're all in different seasons of motherhood. Erin has young children, a quiver full of active children, and Peggy is a wonderful grandmother, and Kathleen has teenagers and young single adults, and so you're covering the whole spectrum for us today. And so I'd like to ask you, how can this book help us to understand and appreciate the role of a mother, regardless of our season, and how incredible it is to receive this sacred calling from the Lord?
I love the thought by Heber J. Grant and his presidency, President J. Reuben Clark and David O. McKay. It's on page 158 in this book, and it says, motherhood is near to divinity. It is the highest, holiest service to be assumed by mankind. It places her who honors its holy calling and service next to the angels. And that made me feel like what I have done and still continue to do throughout my life is the very most important thing that a woman can do on this earth. It made me feel really special to read that and realize how important the Lord feels about motherhood.
And the word I think of is validated. It validates our role when the world we live in often doesn't. And that's not where we should look, but this is such a one. It reminds us of the wonderful source of confidence and validation and love from our Heavenly Father. Thank you for that.
You know, I think just the many quotes from the prophets that are real specific to motherhood really gave me strength in that role. One I liked is on page 161 from President Benson. It says, "Mothers in Zion, your God-given roles are so vital to your own exaltation and to the salvation and exaltation of your family. A child needs a mother more than all the things money can buy. Spending time with your children is the greatest gift of all." And so, when prophets speak to this, it reminds us that Heavenly Father has a lot of trust in us to give us his spirit children and to trust us with that ability and responsibility to teach them all we can and then to get them back to him.
Thank you for that. Well, let's talk about how daughters in my kingdom can influence our children and help us raise them with good principles, and how each of you have used this book in your homes to teach your children. I'd love to know about that. Have you used it with your young children, Erin?
I think as you sort of take some of the principles that are in the book, you can simplify them. In my case, there's only a couple of my children that can even read. So I have to take principles and truths that are taught in this book and teach them on a level that my children understand them. And there is a section on page 152 that's temporal responsibilities and eternal roles. I think those are important things to teach our children about men and women, that we do have temporal responsibilities and that we have eternal roles in Heavenly Father's plan for us. And it talks about that in the family, A Proclamation to the World, which is in the back of the book. And I have a testimony that that is a very important thing to study, and that those truths that are taught in that proclamation and that are reaffirmed through this entire book are important for children to understand.
I love that.
I feel like it's very important that our boys, our young men, and our husbands and our sons read this book, because it will help them really understand how much the Lord values women. And if they get that concept, they'll understand how they need to treat the women in their lives and how much they need to give them respect, whether it be their grandmothers, their mothers, their sisters. And then as they date, it will give them a sense of how to treat the young women that they date. And although my grandsons are too young at the time to read the book, I hope that the time will come when they will be able to study it and understand it. I had a friend tell me that her son was asked to read it by his mission president, that every young
wonderful.
Man, and I think that's wonderful that they're doing that.
And I have three young adult sons. One is currently serving a mission, and we even sent him a book because we felt the same way that Peggy feels, that these young men need to understand the divinity of woman. And the other things my husband and I wanted to have our children learn through this book was that how we work in tandem with the priesthood. And Erin will know, and Peggy knows because she raised three sons as well, but it's important to let them know at a young age their role as priesthood holders, and their power, priesthood power, blesses us as women. And we're entitled to all the blessings of the priesthood, but we need worthy priesthood holders. And so I feel a lot of the same that Peggy does about having our young men understand that. So all three of our sons have the book. My husband has the book, has read it, has a firm testimony of it. And I know Aaron's does as well. The other thing that I loved from this book that we've tried to use in our family is personal revelation. And I don't like to dwell on the what ifs. I should have done this different with raising children, but I wish I would have known a lot of this while my children were young and in the home. I would have followed that personal revelation a lot closer. I don't think I recognized it like I would have loved to, but now I have a daughter who recognizes it, and I see it work in her life, and I see her on her knees often and receiving her own revelation for hard things. So it's just great to use as a family resource.
I wish we would have had this book when our children were little.
Oh, I do too.
I have a bookshelf full of different child development or parenting ideas that I was searching in when my children were little. And this is the first book I think every parent should read, because it aligns us as women. Because I know, at least in my home, and I'm sure it's the same in yours, when I'm centered and aligned and receiving personal revelation to know and feeling peace that I'm on the right path and what I'm doing is what Heavenly Father wants me to do, I'm happy, I'm centered, I'm focused, I'm patient. It's easier to feel charity, and that makes me a better mother. And that's the best parenting model, our Savior Jesus Christ, that we can have. I'm so grateful that young mothers will now have this as a wonderful resource and at their fingertips. I hope this is the first book we go to. I guess I could just garage sale the rest of my books and just keep this one. So what are some things that we can do as mothers to encourage those in our families to study this book? And how can we use it in our family home evenings? Have any of you had success with that?
I think anytime we have a discussion on spiritual things, if we can pull this book out and find the answer, our children will get the message, oh, there's a lot to be found in this book. And I've discussed it with my daughter-in-laws, and I think they're getting the vision of it as well.
And that's what I love about this book, is that it's not something you have to read from beginning to end. You can open to any page, any chapter, and just pull out nuggets of truth and build a whole lesson on that.
I'll share one thing we did in family night last night. We were talking to our children about, and there were only two of them at home, and about what they'd learned in their scripture study the past week. And our oldest son, Stephen, had been studying about light and truth in different parts of the scriptures. And then they knew I was going to be doing this recording, and we talked a little bit about that. And we opened it. I opened the book, Daughters in My Kingdom, to the page 18. And just the picture that's on that page, one of the women's monument statues back in Nauvoo that says, bring up your children in light and truth. And it's a beautiful picture. And so I agree with you. You can open this book to any page at any time and pull out something and teach a lesson on it or have a gospel discussion with your children about it. And even as husband and wives, we can do that as well.
Every picture, the appendages that are at the beginning of every chapter that support, every image supports the message in that chapter. I think it was important to the leaders of the church that this was available and could touch every single woman, no matter her circumstance in life. You are listening to the Mormon Channel Relief Society program, a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Peggy Moffat, Kathleen Cook, and Aaron Jack join us in the studio today to share ways mothers can use the new Relief Society history book, Daughters in My Kingdom. How can this book help us have an eternal perspective on life, to focus on what's really important, especially when motherhood gets challenging and the world doesn't always respect the homemaker role? Erin, I know that so much as a young mother, what you do every day, it's very repetitive. How has this book helped you in that mission with your little ones?
There are a lot of times in this book that it talks about doing the small and the simple things, and not only knowing them, but then doing those. And I think that's when as I read through this book, that was when I felt confidence in the small and simple things that I do. I have a scripture from Doctrine and Covenants that I have typed up on a little piece of paper that I have hanging near my kitchen, and I walk past it several times a day. In Doctrine and Covenants section 64, verse 33, it says, wherefore, be not weary in well-doing, for ye are laying the foundation of a great work, and out of small things proceedeth that which is great.
It's wonderful.
I read that a lot. And it reminds me that although I might get weary, that what I'm doing is good. And it's those small things that will create the foundation upon which I hope my family will build, and that it will be a source of things to rely on as my children get older and start their own families, that those small things that we tried consistently to do will have a positive outcome on their lives.
And it's so important as women, and especially as mothers, that we are turning, as you did, to the scriptures and to this book for our validation and purpose, because that's not what the world teaches us. Or it's so easy to be tempted to turn to the world for a quick fix, for a quick pat on the back, looking, searching for someone to tell you that you're doing okay. So thank you for your example of that, that this is where the true power and source comes from. Thank you for that.
I've had discussions with my daughters-in-law about at times when they've been feeling like they don't have anything great to offer, great visible talents. And as I've thought about that a lot, I look at them as mothers and see the wonderful job they're doing teaching their children. I think that any recognition we get as far as the world is concerned is so temporary. Even down to our church callings, we can be a Stake Relief Society president one day, and the next day we might be a nursery leader. But what we do with our children has eternal consequences. That just makes us so important as mothers. And I love Barbara Smith's quote when she says, "Hold your heads high, you wives, mothers, homemakers. You engender life and enrich it. Don't trade that pervasive force for fleeting surface trinkets. Cherish it, enlarge it, magnify it. You hold a mighty office." And what young mothers are doing with their children is far greater than anything else they could do as far as the world is concerned.
And don't you think that it's important that our children see us be happy, to feel joy, that we're happy in our role as mothers? I think that's significant as well.
Talking about this eternal perspective that the book speaks a little bit throughout the first part of it, and again towards the end about the temple covenants, and that these sisters who had such hardships coming across the plains and leaving families and all their things behind found their strength through their covenants and in keeping those. And on page 15, it talks about that these blessings would come to them according to their faithfulness and diligence. Knowledge and intelligence would flow to them as they received a fullness of priesthood blessings in the temple. They would receive ordinances and make sacred covenants that would help prepare themselves and their families for eternal life. And it is tedious work to raise children, and it's hard. And I think back on one time when one of our children were struggling and with some decisions. And I took this problem to Heavenly Father, and I had a solution for it that was just my own. And I took it to the temple, and my answer was very different than what I had come up with. And it wasn't one I liked. And and I remember thinking, but Heavenly Father, I can't do that anymore. I can't do it that way. And the answer came very softly that because of my covenants, I had the enabling power I needed to push through this trial and help this child push through this trial. And it was going to be long and it was going to be difficult, but because of temple covenants and obedience to those, that we would be able to endure it. And that hasn't set aside any trials for our family. There are many, and they come often and sometimes daily. But I think we have the enabling power of temple covenants that help us to do what we need to do as mothers and then teach those to our children. We're always grateful in a funny way that our children experience trials while they live at home so that we can point them to the source for the remission of sins and the atonement.
I love that you shared that, because it seems like as a mother, I'm usually only as happy as my saddest child. And so I appreciate you sharing that in ways that we can teach them and strengthen ourselves as well. Well, in the book, Daughters in My Kingdom, there are many great examples of women of faith. How have these women given you strength and inspired you to be better? Is there a specific example that you'd like to share?
As I look at all the examples of the women of faith, it makes me want to be more faithful. And I love Julie Beck's quote on page 158, when we're talking about revelation, the ability to qualify for, receive, and act on personal revelation is the single most important skill that can be acquired in this life. And that's something that I want to strive for more, to have more a personal revelation. But one sister in the book that really inspired me was Louise Robison, and her story's on page 71. And she was called into the presidency under Heber J. Grant. And when he called her in as a counselor, she said, I don't have any money, I don't have much education, and I don't have any social status, and I don't think I'm the kind of person that sisters could relate to as a leader. And he just looked at her and said, Louise, 85% of the sisters in this church are humble women. She said, I'm just a humble woman. And so she was willing to do whatever he asked her to do. And he said, I'm calling you to be the leader of them. Well, then, a year later, after she was called as president then, a year later, the Depression came. And it was because of her lack of education, because of her lack of money and social status, that she was able to help so many women throughout the world. And she was able to, they could relate to her because of the position she was in. And I thought, that really proved to me that the Lord calls who he needs, when he needs them, and for specific reasons. And it really, I was really inspired by her, and that she was still able, willing to do it, even though she felt very inadequate.
And I think that relates to us as mothers, that we are given his spirit children to come to our family. Our Heavenly Father knows us and the kind of mother that we can be, and we were given, the children we were given, for a specific purpose to help them learn and progress. So that's a great principle to remember as a mother. Thank you.
There's an example of a woman, Eliza Partridge Lyman, on page 32. It describes an experience she had giving birth to a son that then got sick and passed away. And I think anyone who has ever lost a baby, that's a tender and a heartbreaking experience. And to hear her relate that experience and know that there have been women of all ages that have dealt with this, that are mothers, that it's a thing that many mothers have dealt with. And to hear her be so upset and then to say, I still have friends who are dear to me. I believe there is a power that watches over us and does all things right. And I think that kind of faith to me, especially from women throughout church history at various times of challenge, the early days of the church during the Depression, the world wars, and those are referenced in here, those women, seeing how they dealt with these challenges, knowing that they relied on Heavenly Father and the patterns for raising families that Heavenly Father has set forth strengthens my faith, because I know that if they did it, then I can do it. And as those patterns are reaffirmed and expounded upon throughout this book, it's a support for me to be able to go to this book and look at these examples and its various challenges, financial, death of a loved one, sickness, illness, and see how these women have relied on Heavenly Father and relied on his plan for them, and knowing that he has a specific plan for them, it strengthens me and it gives me the faith to go through the challenges I face.
The power is in the patterns and the principles, because even though our lifestyle is so different today, the mortality rate, the advances in medicine, we're not losing children. We're not losing babies when they're born, but we're losing children to sin and to Satan's devices that we face that they didn't. But because of the principles and patterns that this book teaches, I love how you've tapped into that power. Thank you for that.
I find strength. I love the story of Amanda Barnes Smith on page 130, who was the pioneer mom who lost her husband and a son in that attack at Hans Mill that left her other son severely wounded, and that she sought personal revelation in a time of extreme grief for him. And she had so much faith that something that doesn't even make sense scientifically or medically happened. And the power that came from her, and I like how Aaron put it, if they could do it, we can do it. And I also love the story of Mary Fielding Smith and what her son says about her, that she came across in dire circumstances as well, without a husband. And he says, "Do you not think that these things make an impression upon the mind? Do you think I can forget the example of my mother? No, her faith and example will ever be bright in my memory. What do I think? Every breath I breathe, every feeling of my soul rises to God in thankfulness to him that my mother was a saint, that she was a woman of God, pure and faithful, and that she would rather suffer death than betray the trust committed to her." And that's the trust that we feel. I, like Peggy, love being a mother. It's not always easy. As a matter of fact, it's downright hard to save them from the grasp of the adversary. But it's a work we have to go through. And if these women can do it, we can do it.
Thank you for that. What are the benefits of learning more about our heritage, and why is it important for our children to know and understand their heritage?
I'd like to talk for just a second about my mom and dad. My mom's 88 and my dad's 97. And whenever I'm around them or think of them, I think of the scripture in Philippians 4:11 that it says, "I have learned in whatsoever circumstance I am in therewith to be content," because they are so content. And I want to be like them, and I hope by the time I'm 88, I can be like my mom. But it's been a process through the years where they have developed charity. And when I read the part in here that President Monson talks about charity, they do not become offended. They accept everyone as they are. They don't make judgments. They're patient with all of us in our family as well as others. And then when Sister Beck talks on page 7 about we learn the things that the Savior wants us to learn, then we do the things that he wants us to do, and then we become as the Savior wants us to become. That's what I feel about my parents as I see them. And they're happy, they're content, and they're peaceful. And they serve constantly. My mother is still serving every day. And a lot of it is to my dad now, but she still serves everyone else as well. So it makes me look and think, what do I want to leave for my children? My parents have no money, no wealth, no social status, but they have left us with a feeling of knowing how strong they are as far as having great integrity, of being charitable, and of loving us unconditionally. And so what do I want to leave my children? Do I want to leave them worldly wealth, or do I want to leave them with the feeling that they know that I have had integrity, that I have loved and served them and have wanted to be there for them whenever they needed me? And so I think as we teach our children to know about their heritage and people in their past, we can look to them and think, what was important to them at the end of their life? And will I change my life so that I can be like them when I get to that point in my life?
The powerful lesson of an example.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that. As a final note, would you please share your testimonies with us about this wonderful book, Daughters in My Kingdom?
I would love to share my testimony about this book. I have a strong testimony that it came forth at this time for a real purpose, and that purpose is going to be individual for everyone who reads it. I think it's no coincidence that it's come forth at a time when the church has been catapulted into the media spotlight, where as women and young women, we need to understand our heritage so that we can defend it. We need to know and understand what we truly believe in as women, and this book provides that heritage, and we can read about these marvelous examples and hear words of prophets and hear that we are championed by our Savior and his atonement. And I'd just like to leave with one quote from page 171 and 172. Joseph Smith taught the Relief Society Sisters, and he said, "The Lord has endowed women with an innate desire to serve and bless others, and he has entrusted them with a sacred responsibility to use their gifts to help save his children. And our first responsibility are the children in our homes." And I have a testimony of that. I love being a mother. I love being a wife. And I know this gospel is true, and that the Savior knows each one of us personally and is helping us every step of the way with these roles. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
I love this book and have a great testimony of, and I agree with Kathleen that it was brought forth at this time for specific reasons. I love the quote on page 99 where Boyd K. Packer said, "The Relief Society is more than a circle now. It is more like a fabric of lace spread across the continents. And how grateful I am to be a member of this great organization that has been so helpful to me throughout my life and will continue to be, and that we are in a sisterhood with sisters from all over the world. I too know that Heavenly Father is very well aware of who I am and who we are as wives and mothers and grandmothers, and I'm just so grateful for the blessing I have of being a mother and a grandmother. I love every minute of it. I do have a testimony of this gospel and know that we are blessed to have the gospel in our lives today.
Thank you.
I know that Heavenly Father is mindful of us today, and like Kathleen and Peggy have said, I too have a testimony that this book was brought forth in these last days to help us and guide us as the world becomes so much different than what we are counseled to do by our prophets. And President Spencer W. Kimball said, "To be a righteous woman during the winding up scenes on this earth before the second coming of our Savior is an especially noble calling. She has been placed here to help to enrich, to protect, and to guard the home, which is society's basic and most noble institution. I'm thankful to be able to be a mother. It is one of the greatest blessings that I have. And from my children, I have learned more about our Father in heaven and more about how he feels about us. And I know that he is mindful of us as mothers and the role and the responsibility that we have in raising his children, and that we have a responsibility to raise them in the gospel and teach them about our Savior and about the way to return back to live with our Father in heaven. I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you. And I just add my testimony to all of yours. It's a wonderful, wonderful time to be a mother. And this book, in the world we live in, with its chaos and voices and noises, that this is one clear voice. And I'm so grateful that we have this wonderful book. Thank you for sharing your testimonies with us today. You are mothers who know. And we appreciate you. You've been listening to the Mormon Channel Relief Society program, a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more information on this program, visit our website at mormonchannel.org. To share your thoughts and questions regarding this new book, visit daughtersinmykingdom.lds.org. Thanks for listening.